see Lee and Nancy made it in today. Praise the Lord. Woo! Yeah, there you go. All the way from Mississippi. Good to have you guys back with us. Boy, we are blessed with the kids, aren't we? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You a question this morning. Why do we look in the mirror? Why do we look in the mirror? What did you say, Donnie? You try not to. Let me ask you this. How many of you looked in a mirror this morning before you came to church? Raise your hands. I'm so thankful that you did too. Praise the Lord. Listen, you know, we look into the mirror to see if everything. Now think about that our hair's not messed up. We don't have breakfast still on our face. That everything's in place. That's why we look into a mirror to see if everything's in order. Now, don't we? That's our whole reasoning for it. But here's my question this morning. How many of us looked into God's mirror before you came here? How many of you looked into the mirror of God to see if you were clean, if everything was just right to come to worship? I want us to think about a look in God's mirror this morning. We'll see that a look in God's mirror is a look into His Word. And just like a regular mirror, it functions in that way, and it shows exactly what we are and who we are in Christ. So I want us to think about that idea of a look in God's mirror this morning, and we're going to be in James chapter 1, 22 through 25. If you'll stand to your feet, we'll reverence the reading of God's Word. James chapter 1, 22 through 25. And the Word of God says, "But be doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. If anyone is a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this one will be blessed in what he does." Let's pray. Father, for a few moments this morning, I pray that we take a good look into the mirror of God. Show us the things that you're wanting to speak to us about this morning. Thank you that we have this privilege. Lord, I pray you'll just show up and bless, God, like only you can, that you'll hide me behind the cross. May your word go forth for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. A look in God's mirror this morning. I want us, the first point, to look at what we see. And let's look at that in verse 22. It says, "But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourself." What we see and who we are as God's children is what we're going to see in God's Word, in His mirror. And first we see is doers. You say, what are you talking about? Have you ever heard the whole old saying, the proof's in the pudding? You ever heard that? The proof's in the pudding? What's it talking about there? Your life proves if you're a doer or not, okay? When we look into the mirror of God and what we see, your life is already proving out if you're a doer or not. Something for us to think about this morning. I love what it says here. It says, but be doers. That word be there is the thought of to prove yourself. To prove yourself. Or to be continually. To keep on striving to be. Speaking about our whole personality. When we are something, right? It's not just putting on a show, but it's who we are completely. And it says, be doers. Be doers. Listen to what Matthew a doer does, by the way. That's profound, isn't it? A doer does. Think about what Matthew 7:21 says. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father." What was the difference? One says and one does. It's very easy for us to say something, but it's who we are and how we live it out proves out if we're a doer or not. If we're following the will of God. Doers of the Word are doers of the will of God. And look in God's mirror. What we are seeing here, our life proves it out. I want us to look at this. What doers, what, here we are. Are we doers of the Word? Doers terms of the word, please understand, now listen, we're not talking about a works-based salvation. You say, what are you talking about, Dave? I'm not talking about it's what you do that makes you right with God. But when you're right with God, you're going to do some things. You see, we get it out of order if we're not careful. A works-based salvation says, I'm continually trying to earn the approval of God. And we think, we go through our little checklist. If we're not careful, we get out our little list and our pen, and we check off. I went to church today. I paid my tithe. I sang in the choir. I taught Sunday school. Yada, yada, yada. If we're not careful, that checklist becomes what we think makes us right with God. When we're right with God, we do the things that we do. It's our life that proves out who we are, if you're a doer or not. That doing does not make you right, but when you're right, you will do. And you'll serve the Lord. And that's what James is trying to let us know. It's not this works-based kind of salvation, but you know what? It's a love, and what we're going to see next week. It's a love relationship. It's out of a thankful heart that we should serve the Lord and do. You know, this week is Thanksgiving, isn't it? We should be the most thankful people. We had a great time in prayer room, by the way, on Sunday mornings. We got a chance to come out and pray. It's like the last few, it's just like we've been having church. It's been so good. The Spirit of God's been so right in there. And we were talking about how thankful that we should be. How thankful should we be? I don't know what you're facing. I know you might, there's a lot in this room, there'd be a lot of difficulties that people could get up and all these things. But you know what? We should be so thankful. Should we not? I don't like the idea that whenever, and I know that Christmas gets exciting, but if we're not careful, we'll step right over Thanksgiving looking at Christmas, will we not? If we're not very careful, when Thanksgiving should be the epitome of what we are, so that when we go into Christmas time, man, what better thing to be thankful for that the baby came to earth, Jesus, he came, that we could be saved. And the only reason that we can be thankful and be thankful this morning is because what Jesus has done for each and every one of us. And listen, you might be going through a tough time, but I want you to know, boy, I wish I could sing. You know what song's on my mind? If it hadn't been for a place called Mount Calvary. Praise God, if it hadn't been for the old rugged cross, if it hadn't been for a man called Jesus, then forever my soul would have been lost. Woo, that's something to be thankful about this morning, that Christ is in us. If you have the Holy Spirit of God this morning, if you've been saved and you're a child of God, guess what? You have everything you need to get through whatever situation you might be going through with thankfulness. If you don't have the Holy Spirit of God, if you've never received Jesus Christ, boy, this morning could be your morning. What a thanksgiving to come into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm talking about you might have nibbled around the edges, you might have heard it many times, but you've never allowed it to saturate your life and change you, and you become a doer, where you can look at God's Word and say, you know what? Yeah, I see what it's saying. I'm looking at the mirror. I'm getting, you know, I'm taking care of some things in my life. Becoming a doer. You know what? It's a person that's characterized by holy energy. And guess what? When you have holy energy, you're not going to get burnt out. Sometimes we're using the wrong energy when we get burnt out. With the Holy Spirit of God, I don't see the Holy Spirit ever running out of power. Do you? The Holy Spirit should motivate us. It should be holy energy. We should be the most enthusiastic people in the world. Why? Because we have Jesus as our Savior. Listen, the world is looking for some realness. It's looking for the church to be who it's supposed to be. That don't mean phony and fake, but that means, you know what? Whatever we face, it doesn't matter that we can say, praise God, let me tell you about my Savior and what he can do for you. If he can do it for me, if he can save an old redneck like myself, let me tell you what he can do for you. That's how thankful that we should be and look for those opportunities every day. First, be a doer, but look, we see another, what James speaks about. He talks about hearers, and not hearers only deceiving yourself. And what's he talking about there? Well, hearers were used of those who sat passively in an audience and listened to a singer or to a speaker. That was a hearer. You know what? At Southeastern, we had classes. We had classes together. You believe that? I can tell you some things about it, but I won't. But listen, no. But when we were at Southeastern, you could audit a class. That's what it was called. And what happened is you just came into the class and you listened, you gleaned from the professor, you went through the class. But you know what? You weren't required to take any, do any papers, to take any test. You were just an auditor. That's all you did. There was no accountability for what that was that you were learning. That's what James is talking about, a hearer that only hears it. Now think about, I want you to think about something. What if that we look in God's Word and it's our mirror? What if we just looked in the mirror once a week? Can you imagine a bad case of pillow head I'd have this morning? Look, if I just looked last Sunday, right? If I just looked in the mirror once a week, how bad, if you take that and put it into a real mirror, how bad would we look? I mean, it'd be stuff all over our faces, and we wouldn't even know it. A hearer, he said, he's talking about this auditor mentality that we can come and just sit and hear, and it never changes our life. It never takes a hold. It never makes us into the person that God wants us to be. It's just a hearer, just a listener. Tragically, most churches are full of auditors. People that just come to listen. You know, we love to be entertained. We do. Is that not the environment, the culture that we are? This is not entertainment, by the way. Now, I want you to know something. For me to stand up here and make the Bible boring would be a sin. It's a sin to make the Bible boring. It's the most glorious, gracious book of the whole that's ever been written. But I'm not here to entertain you. I'm here to teach you and preach you the Word of God. If what it's done to me, it's sliced and diced me all week. This message, I didn't think, well, this will be good for so-and-so. This message had to penetrate me first and cut and do all the slicing before it can go out and make a difference in your life. We're not here to entertain. We're here to hear the worship and hear what God has to say for right where you're sitting. And you have to answer that question. And it's the Holy Spirit of God that gets a hold of your heart and says, and he starts working on it. He might be doing that right now for somebody, by the way. He starts squeezing your heart. He said, wait a minute. You know, this, I remember the night that I got saved. I was thinking, this guy's been living in my house with me, man. He's like, has he been in my closet? That's how God's the Holy Spirit. So many times that's what he'll do. He'll touch your life. And you know what you'll do if you're not careful? We get distracted and we leave here and we never let God finish that, what he's trying to do. We're worried about what somebody might think, or we need to get this straight before we do this. You can't get it straight, by the way. And quit worrying about what anybody else thinks. It's all about meeting God's approval here this morning. God finding you right where you're at. Not to just be a hearer, but a doer, because it says, listen, it says that, you're deceiving yourself. Hearing with no desire to obey it, it's deceiving ourselves. This is speaking of deceiving oneself hearing, but merely it's just soothing our conscience that we're all right to go out and just live, you know. We just soothe our conscience every Sunday. But it's never taken effect. Here, you know what I'm looking at? I'm looking at a room full of missionaries. A room full of God's people that you can go out in the community, the place that God finds you, and you can make a difference for God. You can. Don't let Satan tell you that you're useless. Oh, this or that. Don't flush that garbage down the drain, because you know what? If you're forgiven, Jesus said it's as far as the east is from the west. How far is that? You can't measure it, by the way. Or it's hidden into the depths of the sea. So don't let Satan remind you of something in your past or some garbage and keep you beat down. Live for Christ now, because if he's forgiven you, it's forgotten. Go on for Jesus. This is your race. This is your time. Live for him. You know, when we're deceiving ourselves and we're thinking about looking in God's mirror and just being a hearer and not changing, it's actually, you know, it's this idea of incorrect reasoning. Why are we here? It's a sermon taster that's never tasted the grace of God. But he tasted the grace of God this morning. Any response to the gospel that does not result in a changed life, that hungers and thirsts for God's word and lives in obedience to it, is not just, all it's doing is professing, it's not possessing the Holy Spirit of God. Are we growing in Christ? Are we looking more like him every day? That's our question. And it really determines if we're a doer or a hearer. Well, the next thing, how do we use it? What we see what we see first, but then how do we use it? Look at verse 23 and 24. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in the mirror, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man that he was. James is saying, this is how we use it. First, he said, don't be a glancer. He said,
talking about. Don't be a glancer. Don't be a glancer. That's what he's saying. Don't be. It's a careless glance. Think about what he. In James' time, they didn't have mirrors. This was like 14th century before they created mirrors like this. They had bronze, brass. They had. If you're really rich, you had silver and gold. But you had to really look in these mirrors to see intently, to see your reflection, to see if everything's okay. James says, you're just being a glancer. You're just looking in, and it's not making a difference. It's not changing anything. Don't be a glancer. You know what? Because glancers have a forgetful heart. What does it say? It says he observes his face in the mirror, and he goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man that he was. He's a forgetful hearer. I don't know whether it's because of distractions or simply poor memory. Anybody can relate to that? The older you get, the more it's like, did I say that? I don't remember. Or poor memory. But I don't know. Here's the deal. And somebody's driving me crazy. Look, listen, here's the deal. I don't know. You might be thinking about lunch. You might be thinking about Panthers football. Is Cam Newton going to be able to do anything today? Come on. You might be thinking about a Sunday nap, or you might have to go to work this afternoon, but you can be very distracted with what God is trying to say. And you become a glancer. You just look, oh, I'm good. I'm good. Fine. Everything's fine. James says that don't be a glancer, but he also says don't be content with your own way and walk. You know what a glancer's saying? I'm good. There's nothing wrong with me. You know what? There's fine. No marks. Yeah, I'm looking good. Oh, yeah. No problem. Never seeing the problems that we have. Never seeing the marks in our life. Never seeing the sin that darkens our hearts. If we don't look into God's mirror and see it for what it shows us who we are, you know what? It doesn't change us, and it doesn't do us any good whatsoever. Here's the deal. In Scripture, think about it. When we see God in his proper place. And we were talking about that in our Sunday school lesson. That God, you know, when he came down on Mount Sinai, we remember it was so, it thundered and it lightened and it smoked until the people said, oh, we can't take it. Let Moses listen. Don't speak for us. Let Moses speak for us. When we see God in his proper place, think about Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6. When he seen the Lord high and lifted up, what did he say? Woe is me! Woe is me, for I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell among the people of unclean lips. Think about Peter when he's out on the boat, and Jesus is calling his disciples, and those old fishermen, they fished all night, hadn't caught a thing. Jesus said, just cast out, and drop your net on the other side. And when that net was about to bust, what did Peter say? Depart from me, I'm a sinful man. You see, he saw God in his proper place. He saw his own self. Think about Job. Job, we all know the book of Job. And Job is saying, I just need an audience with God. I've been mistreated. Everything's good. And then when chapter 38, when God shows up and says, Job, where were you when I created all this? You know what did Job say? He said, in 42, I repent in sackcloth and ashes. You see, when we see God in his proper place in our lives, you know what it does? It drives our nose in the dirt. It puts us on our face before God. That's what a look into God's mirror will do. When we see God in his proper place and we see ourselves in the proper place, it puts our nose in the dirt and it shows us just how dependent on him that we are. James says, don't be a glancer. Don't be a glancer. You see, we see what we see. We see how we use it. Now we're going to see sin in proper reflection in verse 20. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word. This one will be blessed in what he does. You see what James said? Be a gazer. Here, let me take care of this. Look. Oh, yeah. Oh, that looks much better. Thank you, Lou. It says be a gazer. Don't just be a glancer. In other words, let it do its work in your heart. Let it show you those places and those areas that we all have. Let it show us those hidden closets that we think nobody knows about, that He can sweep out and make you more and more and more that child of God that He calls for us to be. He's talking about being a gazer. He looks at the Word. Look, He sees it, and He's obedient to it because it says He continues in it. He allows it to transform His life. He allows it to work through Him. It allows Him to mold Him into what God wants Him to be. He said, you continue in it. It's not a one-time deal on Sunday morning and we go out and just forget about everything, but it's allowing God's Word to penetrate and do a work in our hearts and make us into that which He's called us to be. We don't just study the mirror. And He shows us what God does wants for your life. Do you realize He wants something for your life? If He has you here today, I want you to know it's not a coincidence that you're here, that He wants something from you. Each one of you has a talent and a gift, that if you're not giving that to God, you're not using it, you're missing the fulfillment, because we're going to see that in the Scripture. You're missing out what it is God has for your life. You're missing out that law of liberty that He talks, that we can live free in Christ. That's what it says. He says, he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it. Look what it said. It is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer. In other words, you know what happened? We see ourselves. We see God in His proper place. We see ourselves. We see the areas that we need to work on, and we're constantly working towards getting those areas cleaned up, giving it to God, and allowing God to work through us. Because He says, look, the outcome of that. It says we don't, you know, and we're not serving out of fear, but we're serving out of gratitude for what God has done. I want you to think about that this week at Thanksgiving. How much gratitude do you really have for God and for what He's done for you? Because if you're thankful to Him, you'll allow Him to live through your life, and you'll allow Him to change you into that what He wants you to be. That's true thankfulness. When God says, you know, this is what I expect of you, and we don't live by it, is that thankfulness? Be a doer, He says. Be a doer. One day, we'll be free from this world, by the way. Free from this world. Think about from ourselves, praise God, from fallenness, from the curse, from sin, from death, and hell. We'll be free from all that. But you know what? He's not just wanting you to look past and think about the future, but He's wanting you to have abundant life right now. But what does it say? What does the Scripture say? It says, this one will be blessed in what he does. How many of us here don't want the blessed life? James said there's some things that you do in your life. You look into God's mirror. You allow it to clean you up. You allow Him to be a display of His splendor. He says, and you will have a blessed life. He's talking about the abundant life of John 10:10. I'm not talking about possessions or cars or houses. I'm talking about the abundant treasure of Jesus Christ in our life that will get us through any storm that we face. That we can say, you know what? I'm not perfect, but I serve one that is. Let me tell you about my Savior. That's what we want to do. That's what we want to point it to. It's not about us, by the way. It's not about South Fork Baptist Church. It's about a Savior that came to this earth in the form of a little old baby that we'll be celebrating next month. God and a baby. Think about somebody that had to take care of him, had to change that dirty diaper. Thank God for Sandy. See, he'll put that thing in his butt. But you know what? Jesus had his head, his diaper changed. That's God. He came in that form. Why? That he could grow into a man and give his life and die. He was born to die. That's what Christmas is about. Emmanuel, God with us. You want to be thankful. Think about that. Because he bridged the gap between heaven and hell. He died on that cross, by the way, and they buried him. But on the third day, he arose. If you'll just accept what he did that day, in fact, the Scripture says, if you'll confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you'll believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, what does it say? You shall be saved. from what? From yourself and the sin that you were born with. From the very beginning, when Adam sinned and Eve sinned, they ushered sin into mankind. And everybody that's born is born with a sin nature. And until we accept what God has done through Jesus Christ, that sin nature will dominate our lives. And you know what? That sin nature leads us to death and hell, total separation from God. But you have, you know what you've got to step over? You've got to step over the bloodstained banner of Jesus Christ to get there. You just got to step right over His forgiveness and His offer, free forgiveness of sin. And you just got to say, here's what you do. You just say, you know what? I've tried to figure this out, but through the Holy Spirit and looking in God's Word, thank God, He showed me that this is what it is that I needed. February 28, 1991, Wednesday night, that search was over for that. And He changed my life. And here I am, standing here before you as your pastor, one of the most privileged things I've ever done. I don't deserve to be here. Many of you could do a lot better job. But it's not what I deserve, it's the One that saved me, the reason that I'm here. If He can change me around and turn me around, I was into everything, by the way. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. I tried all the things the world had to offer, and it never brought me any fulfillment. How sad to go through this life trying everything the world had to offer and still coming up empty. You don't have to do that. You can receive Christ. Because He said, live the best, blessed life. Be a gazer, but live the blessed life. And man, this is what it's all about. It's about leading and living a blessed life. It's about being content, finding your self-worth in Christ. It's about living for Him, understanding that you have a mission and a purpose in life, and each and every one of us does. It's about finding that place. If you're here, God's brought you here, you're this date. There's nobody more important than anybody else right here. We all fit together. We're all one body. God has everybody has a gift. They have things to offer to the body. We're all important. Find your place. Don't just be a pew sitter. Be a doer. Don't just come and look in the mirror one time a week. Allow God's Word to penetrate your life and change you and clean out the things and make you into that which He wants you to be. Michael Jackson. We all know who Michael Jackson is, right? I wish I could. He wrote a song, Man in the Mirror. Everybody knows, I'm starting with the man in the mirror. I'm asking him to change his ways. You see what he was talking about there? What was the problem? And we all know Michael Jackson messed himself up, right? We thought, well, what's he trying to do? Is he trying to be blind? What's he doing? He's trying to change his whole... I mean, we all thought that. You know what happened? In fact, his bodyguard and one of his closest friends after his death said, you know what he did? When he looked in the mirror, he saw his dad's reflection. And because his dad was abusive, he tried to change that reflection. He didn't like what he saw because he was seeing his own dad. That's sad, isn't it? That's sad. But you understand, when we look and we gaze into the mirror of God, what is it that He's wanting you to see? He's wanting you to see Jesus in His reflection. He's wanting us not, yeah, we get all the things, we see the things, we see God in His perfect plan, but when he's getting you there is when you start looking in there and you start seeing Jesus in yourself, the hope of glory. He's looking for the reflection of Christ in your life. Are you reflecting Christ this morning? When you look into God's mirror, do you see Jesus? What do you see? That's what I want you to think about. He wants you to see the reflection of His Son when you look in His mirror. And we're going to do our applications here, and then we're going to have a time of invitation. And then we're going to have a baptismal service. Isn't that cool? You'll be a part of that. That's a high privilege. But listen to these applications as we're finishing up. We'll look in God's mirror. What do you see when you look in God's mirror? Who do you see and what do you see? You have to be honest with yourself before God. Number two, purpose to use His Word as the standard you live by. We don't have to guess at life's hard choices or where we stand on issues that are controversial. We have the answer right here. Know what it means and what the Word says and what God says. And when we don't have to put our opinion in there, who cares about our opinion? We want God's opinion and we want to live on that truth. In a world that says there is no truth, thy word is truth, is what Jesus said in John 17. Purpose to live by its standard. And lastly, do you see Christ's reflection? Do you see Christ in your reflection? Do you see Christ in you? We're getting ready to have a time of invitation. Remember? Here's the deal. Are you lost this morning? If you're lost, please, please receive Christ. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how many times you've been in this church. Don't let the devil right now start beating on you about this, that, and you've got to quit doing this. If you got to quit doing something, you'll never quit, and you'll never be saved. If the Holy Spirit of God has revealed to you today, and that's the Holy Spirit of God, by the way. It's not a preacher. It's His Word. If it's revealed to you today that you need Christ, come to receive Christ as your Savior. Nothing be better. If you've seen, as you're looking, you're thinking about, you know what, I've looked in this mirror plenty of times, every day, but you know what, I don't look in this mirror every day. What does God want you to do with that? What does God want you to do with the message? As the ladies begin playing, everybody stand to your feet. Oh, I heard the Savior say, woo! What is it God wants you to do today? Do not put it off. God's spoken to you. Don't quench the Holy Spirit. Come forward. Give it to Christ. You paid it all. Praise the Lord. Y'all. That's good. Susan came forward Sunday before last and said she wanted to be a member. We all thought she was already a member, but that's all right. She's part of the family, but you know what? She grew up Methodist, and she wanted to be baptized by full immersion. I want you to understand something here. This water has no saving power, okay? This, what this water does, she's representing that I've received Christ as my Savior. I'm dying to myself, and I'm going to raise again and be walking with Christ. And so I want you to know that that's what baptism is about. It's about a picture, about a death that happens to ourselves when we receive Christ, and then it's a resurrection when we come up. So Susan, have you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? By your testimony, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Baptized with Christ in the likeness of His death. raised to walk in newness of life. Stand on our feet. Listen, tonight, fellowship hall, 5 o'clock, our Thanksgiving meal. Bring your shoeboxes. Now, like I said, you procrastinators, you've got time, put your one together and bring it. Tonight, we're going to dedicate them. And then we're going to have a great time tonight. So, Brother Danny, if you'll close it in prayer, we'll dismiss.